guys for coming out. My name is Bryce. So my story takes place in St. Mary's, Idaho. It is the summer of 2007, and we're there celebrating Lumberjack Days. Now, during Lumberjack Days, St. Mary's has what is affectionately called Idaho's largest topless bar. And I don't mean topless like topless. I mean topless like there's no top on it. It's a giant makeshift bar made out of a chain link fence, surrounded by tarps, with a bunch of beer inside. It's pretty awesome. I'm there with a couple buddies, and at the time, one of my buddies and I are going through electrical apprenticeship training. And for whatever reason, I still don't know why, we thought it was cool to carry some of our electrical tools around. So there we are, hanging out in Idaho's largest topless bar with a pair of strippers and a pair of dykes, and it is not lost on me that under a different context, that would mean something wildly different. But I digress. So at a certain point in the night, I'm feeling pretty good. I fixate on this 6-foot by 4-foot vinyl Coors Light sign that says, "Hunters Welcome." And I think, that belongs on our living room wall. Only problem is, how am I going to get this thing out of here without anybody noticing? Well, lucky for me, this night is fireworks night. And also lucky for me, we're in a topless bar. So fireworks start going off, everybody goes, ooh, and I go, ah. And I run over, I whip out my dykes, which I'm glad I have now. I cut all the zip ties that are holding this thing on the fence, falls to the ground, I pick it up, throw it over the top of the topless bar, go outside, grab it, jet to my truck. Mission accomplished. I get back and one of my buddies is like, dude, did that cop catch you? And I was like, cop catch me? Friends, to this day, I still do not know how this cop didn't catch me. I didn't know he was chasing me, but I am not fast, so. I don't know. I'm guessing he just decided the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. So the night goes on. I'm feeling a little bit better, AKA drunker. And we make our way down to the street dance. And at this point, I'm pretty toasted. Normally, I'm a wonderful dancer, but this night I decide it's time to take a nap. So no sooner that I get there, I decide I'm going to wander off and try to find the perfect place to take a nap. So I walk around town and find, of course, the front yard of somebody's house. So I lay down, close my little eyes, and I fall asleep. Next thing I know, I'm being shaken awake by a police officer. He's like, hey, man, you can't sleep here. And I'm like, yes, I can. I was doing a great job of it till you came along. And he was like, you're kind of a smartass, aren't you? And I said, well, better to be a smartass than a dumbass. So, and it was that night, you guys, I learned you could be both a smartass and a dumbass at the same time. Who knew? So they put me in the back of their cruiser. No handcuffs, I might add, so I'm not that intimidating, I guess. I was watching them out the window, and I guess we're deciding what to do with me. They get in the car, and they tell me, hey, we're taking you back to the street dance. And before I go any farther, show of hands in here, who has a friend or a relative or someone they know who's a police officer? Just raise your hand. I won't tell on you. Yeah, so they may not know this, but we know that if we find ourselves in a situation like I found myself in that night, we're going to do some name dropping. So for me, this person is my cousin Fred. Now, at this point in time, Fred had been in the service probably anywhere between 25 and like a million years or something. So he's worn a lot of hats, knows a lot of people. And even though I know I wasn't going to jail, I thought just in case they might change their mind, I'm going to drop his name. I was like, hey, you guys know Fred Swanson? And without hesitation, the officer in the passenger seat whips around and looks at me and he's like, how do you know Fred? And at this point, you guys, I'm thinking, got him. These guys are no longer police officers. They're my chauffeurs back to the street dance. and I'm not joking. The whole time they were going on back and forth how much they love Fred, how they know Fred, how cool he is, yada yada stuff, I already knew. and we get back to the street dance finally. Officer lets me out. And as I'm walking away, he's like, hey, man, if we catch you sleeping in someone's yard again, I don't care who you know. You're going to jail. And I was like, you got it, sir. So I told that story about 3 months later at hunting camp to my cousin Fred, and he chuckled and he goes, "You dumbass." And I think he meant smart ass, but they're interchangeable. Well, in the winter of 2021, my beloved cousin Fred came down with COVID-19. He was 56 at the time, no pre-existing conditions that I'm aware of, and it hit him hard. He landed in Kootenai Hospital, where he went downhill pretty fast. And in January of 22, he died of organ failure, and it was devastating. All these years, it still feels weird to say that Fred's not here. This is a guy that should have died a much more poetic death, or at the very least, as an old man with his children and grandchildren around him. He was a salt of the earth kind of guy you couldn't help but like. And I regret missing the opportunity to tell Fred I love him and how much he means to our family. And as we raise our kids here in McCall, we've been here for 3 years and we love being here so much. And the more I'm here, the more I realize there's a lot of Fred Swansons out there here in this community. And for those of you here that I know that have been gracious enough to spend time with me and take our family in, I just want to thank you and tell you that I love you. And for those of you that I don't know, I truly, honestly look forward to the opportunity to get to know you. And I appreciate all of you for listening to my story.